Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome everyone. Please go to Weiser Living, WEISERLiving.com. And on that initial page, you will see on the right-hand side where you can get a Skype consultation. You can click on the Weiser Living TV link and watch all of your YouTube videos that we've uploaded. And by subscribing, you'll not only get access to these educational videos, but you'll be informed when a new video is uploaded. You can also get access to our archive radio programs at Weiser Living Radio, which you're listening to right now. And you can check out the menu bar that lists all of the articles, the programs, services, Weiser Living seminars, especially the recipes and products. So do take a look at that at your convenience. And so check out WeiserLiving.com. Subscribe to Weiser Living TV, follow us at Weiser Living Radio, like us at facebook.com/Weiser Living, and you can also connect with us at Google Plus, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and also Pinterest. And I'm sure there's going to be some other ones in the near future. Okay, this is Dr. Budweiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Weiser Living headquarters, and I would like to welcome each and every one of you who have taken the time out to tune in to this broadcast today. Your time is valuable, and I am truly grateful, and honored for your participation. So over the next 28 minutes and 18 seconds, I want to add to your wellness experience. Okay. All right. Wow. The World Health Organization. Most of you have heard of it. Who? WHO. The World Health Organization defines diabetes as a chronic disease that occurs when the pancreas does not produce enough insulin or when the body cannot effectively use the insulin that it does produce. Hyperglycemia, or raised blood sugar, is a common effect of uncontrolled diabetes, and over time it leads to serious damage to many of the body's systems, especially the nerves and the blood vessels. So that's the cardiovascular system or vascular system and the nervous system. And now that's the definition that they have on their site. Now, the World Health Organization for Europe defines diabetes as a chronic and largely preventable disease that can lead to cardiovascular disease, blindness, kidney failure, loss of limbs like your toes, your feet, you know, and your legs, and also loss of life. It causes suffering and hardship for the approximately 60 million people in the European region that's currently living with the disease, while also straining the region's economies and health system. So it's not just a personal thing. It's a countrywide thing as well. So there's 347 million people worldwide that have diabetes. That's more than 80% of the people with diabetes living in low- and middle-income countries. And the World Health Organization projects that deaths from diabetes will double between 2005 and 2030. So we're kind of like right in the middle of that. A lot of what you have probably heard about diabetes may be incorrect. That's chilling, to say the least. And there is an enormous amount of misinformation that is circulating or in circulation from knowledgeable sources about this epidemic disease. So this is not just someone just randomly talking about this. The scary part to this is that most people who are diabetics, they have no idea how to reverse it, and many don't even realize that they can reverse it. You know, most diabetics have settled into the notion that since it's not going away, they should just focus on controlling it, which means, taking medications, which medications they control and alter the situation very effectively, I might add. Now, more than 50% of type 2 diabetics are not even aware that they have diabetes. Not only that, diabetes rates for both adults and children are getting out of control. And if you take this a zone, it's getting out of that zone because 1 in 4 Americans either have diabetes or they're in the pre-diabetic state or the pre-diabetes zone. And the challenge here with these numbers is that following conventional or standard medical advice could put you on the highway towards life-threatening health problems and even premature death. And statistically speaking, the U.S. now has up to 24 million people with diagnosed diabetes. So we know that 8% of our total population is diabetic, but it gets worse. Almost 26% of people in the U.S. over the age of 20, and another 35%+ of people 60 years of age and up are pre-diabetic. So we're talking about 57 million Americans walking around with pre-diabetes. This is in addition to the 24 million who already have crossed that line. That means that more than one in four Americans have either pre-diabetes or the full-blown disease. Now, did you know that type 2 diabetes is completely preventable? Not only that, it is usually reversible if you are willing to make some simple, inexpensive lifestyle adjustments. If you do this, it will restore your insulin sensitivity and your leptin sensitivity. Insulin and leptin sensitivity. Insulin and leptin. If you can get a handle on insulin sensitivity and leptin sensitivity, you'll be able to get rid of diabetes and tell it to go live somewhere else. I'm serious. It won't be able to live in your body anymore if you do this. If you get a handle on just those two, one's a hormone, basically. Now, diabetes is also known as diabetes mellitus, or at least that's what I used to call it in school, or mellitus, depending on where you are in the country or in the world. You know, it's a chronic condition that's traditionally marked by high levels of glucose in your blood, so you have high blood sugar. Type 1 is called insulin-dependent diabetes, and type 2 is called non-insulin-dependent or adult-onset diabetes. In type 1 diabetes, your body's own immune system actually destroys the insulin-producing cells of the pancreas. So when that happens, it results in a weird thing where a complete deficiency of the hormone insulin is not there. It's not happening. That's why type 1 diabetes is called insulin dependent. So more often than not, type 1 diabetes must give them, or diabetics must give themselves supplemental insulin. Type 1 is uncommon, and it usually affects only about 1 in 250 Americans, and these are individuals before the age of 20. And even though there's no known cure, recent research has shown that our preoccupation with avoiding the sun may play a major role in the development of type 1 diabetes. And this means that the further away from the equator, the greater your risk for the disease. Now, women can help reduce their children's risk of type 1 diabetes by optimizing their vitamin D levels prior to pregnancy and even during pregnancy, because vitamin D has been shown to suppress certain cells of the immune system that may play a role in the development of this disorder. Now, type 2 diabetes is by far the most common form of diabetes, affecting about 90 to 95% of diabetics, and it's completely preventable and nearly 100% reversible. Yep, completely preventable and 100% reversible. Once again, if you or anyone you may know has type 2 diabetes, your body is actually producing some insulin, but it's unable to recognize insulin and use it properly. It's a recognition issue, a communication issue. There's a miscommunication. So the cells in your body communicate needs, right? Well, if you don't know that, you know it now. The cells in your body communicate needs. There's a specific language that it uses to communicate those needs. Just as we use the letters of the alphabet to make, you know, words and sentences so we can communicate with each other, the cells of your body uses words in the form of sugars to communicate needs. There are 8 words the body uses to communicate all of its needs. Those words are glucose and galactose. They're sugars. Mannose, xylose, fucose, N-acetylglucosamine, galactosamine, and N-acetylneuraminic acid. You notice I didn't say fructose or dextrose or corn syrup or corn syrup. I didn't say any of that. So if your body doesn't have this complex of specific plant sugars or carbohydrates, there will be miscommunication, no doubt. So why is that so important? Well, since your insulin is inadequate. Sugar can't get into your cells, and instead it builds up in your blood vessels, causing all kinds of problems. And that's why diabetics, they have elevated blood sugar levels. Now, the insulin is not linking up to the sugar to carry it into the cell. When this communication process breaks down, you start to exhibit symptoms to try to warn you of the problem. You'll have symptoms like excessive thirst, extreme hunger even after eating, nausea and possible vomiting, unusual weight gain, increased fatigue, irritability, blurred vision. You know, your wounds will heal slowly, frequent skin, urinary, and vaginal infections, and numbness or tingling in the hands or our feet. Now, medications are not the answer for type 2 diabetes. Restoring your sensitivity to insulin and leptin, remember I mentioned those two words, insulin and leptin, restoring that sensitivity is what's needed. So diabetes is a disease of insulin and leptin signaling and miscommunication. It is not a disease of blood sugar. I hope you're hearing me on this. And in addition to diabetes, elevated insulin levels are associated with a number of diseases, such as heart disease, peripheral vascular disease, stroke, high blood pressure, which we talked about or discussed last week, cancer, and obesity. So diabetes, all chronic diseases, results from cellular miscommunication. Now if miscommunication is a problem, that means that there's a dysfunction. And if there's a dysfunction, that equals disease. So if you have the correct language, remember the language is in the form of specific sugars or saccharides, then you have proper communication. And if you have proper communication, that equals function, which equals wellness. I hope you're getting this, because we're talking about diabetes, but we're also talking about all chronic type ailments. And once again, diabetes, like all chronic diseases, results from cellular miscommunication. So if you have proper cellular communication, you don't have the chronic disease. I hope you're getting this. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Okay? Now, check this out. We spent time talking about insulin. But what about leptin? L-E-P-T-I-N. What about that? Leptin is a hormone which is produced by your fat cells. Leptin is produced by the fat cells. Now, one of leptin's primary roles is regulating your appetite and your body weight. It tells your brain when to eat, how much to eat, and when to stop eating. And leptin tells your brain what to do with the energy it has. Leptin is also responsible for the accuracy of insulin or the insulin signaling and whether or not you become insulin resistant. So here's a kicker. The only known way to reestablish proper leptin and insulin signaling is through proper diet. The only way. When your blood sugar becomes elevated, insulin is released to direct the extra energy into storage. So a small amount of this energy is stored as starch called glycogen. But the majority of it is stored as the main energy supply, which is fat, which means that insulin's major role is not to lower blood sugar. Insulin's major role is to store the extra energy for a future time of need. Insulin's effect of lowering your blood sugar is really a side effect of this energy storage process. And this is why diabetes treatments that concentrate on just lowering blood sugar can actually make it worse rather than correcting the actual problem, which is metabolic miscommunication. Meaning, taking insulin is one of the worst things you can do for type 2 diabetes, since it actually worsens your insulin and leptin resistance over time. Now, the presence of massive amounts of fructose, you know, some people say fructose or fructose, F-R-U-C-T-O-S-E, in today's Western diet is a driving force behind our diabetic epidemic. Now, regular table sugar is 50% fructose and 50% glucose. And the two are metabolized or broken down very differently. Now, nearly every cell in your body was designed to use glucose for energy, especially your brain cells. But fructose breaks down into several different toxins that can have devastating effects on your ATALTH health. Fructose does not stimulate a rise in leptin, so your satiety signals are suppressed. Satiety is just a nice little word that says, you know, it's you're full, it's time to stop. You know, satiety, if you say satiate, you don't say, you know, you don't use the T, but satiety is basically, and satiate are the same thing. Fructose raises your insulin and triglycerides, which will reduce the amount of leptin crossing your blood-brain barrier. Now, this will interfere with the communication between leptin and your hypothalamus, which means that your brain, that's where your hypothalamus is, will sense starvation and tell you to eat more. Fructose doesn't suppress ghrelin. That's another funny word, G-H-R-E-L-I-N. So fructose does not suppress ghrelin like glucose does. Ghrelin is the hunger hormone, making you want more food. So all of this also sets the stage for overindulgence and leading to weight gain, placing you on the highway towards what? Diabetes. So it's wise to limit your total consumption of fructose to about 15 grams or less per day, because it is virtually guaranteed that you will be getting hidden sources of fructose from just about any processed foods you eat. You know, just look at the ingredient listings on the foods you eat or in your cupboards right now or in your refrigerator. Check out some of the ingredient listings. You'll see fructose, corn syrup solids, high fructose corn syrup, sugar, sucralose, and you'll see, and especially it's in your fruit juices. I mean, so the fruit juice should be sweet already, but they're adding this in there. So you want to severely limit or just eliminate processed foods as much as possible. And regardless of what you may have heard, you cannot successfully treat the underlying cause of diabetes with drugs. So it's a food issue. For instance, Avandia works by making diabetes patients more sensitive to their own insulin, helping to control blood sugar levels, right? So it basically reduces blood sugar by increasing the sensitivity of your liver, your fat, and the muscle cells to insulin. The problem with that is diabetes is not a blood sugar disease. And one of Avandia's side effects is heart problems. There's other medications like glyburide and glipizide and glyburide plus metformin or metformin on its own. These are all anti-diabetic medications, and they deplete nutrients like coenzyme Q10, folic acid, vitamin B12, and some symptoms of coenzyme Q10 deficiency include congestive heart failure, another heart issue, a blood vessel issue, high blood pressure, angina, mitral valve prolapse, stroke, cardiac arrhythmias, cardiomyopathy, lack of energy, gingivitis, and generalized weakening of the immune system. That's from a medication. Effects of folic acid depletion include abnormal cellular development of the red blood cell, your white blood cells, which is part of your immune system, epithelial cells of the stomach, intestines and vagina, and the uterine cervix. Think about people that have problems with their cervix, fibroids. Symptoms include anemia, headaches, fatigue again, hair loss, insomnia, diarrhea, nausea, and increased infection. And so with hair loss, sometimes people go, oh, I just read on the internet that I can get some biotin and that will help with my hair loss. But it's not that simple. You don't want to take this for that. So some effects of B12 depletion are fatigue, you get tired again, peripheral neuropathy, depression, confusion, poor blood clotting, easy bruising, loss of appetite, nausea, and vomiting. Once again, if you look at it separately, I'm bruising a lot. Someone will say, well, take some vitamin C. But that's not going to help the underlying cause. So drugs that focus on the symptoms of elevated blood sugar rather than addressing the underlying cause are doomed to fail in most cases. Not only that, but as you can hear, drugs have dangerous side effects. I mean, the good news is nearly 100% of type 2 diabetes can totally or can be totally reversed, I mean, without medications. But if you are on, say, if you're on a medication, please check your blood sugar at least twice a day and write it down. You have to do this for at least 30 days to get a barometer of when you're, you know, where your numbers are during any part of the day. These numbers give you a snapshot of what's going on inside your body as it relates to the blood sugar balance. Okay? Let's go over six actions that you can take for increasing your insulin and leptin sensitivity, which will reduce your chances for developing diabetes or reversing it if you already have the condition. So I'm going to give you six actions that can take diabetes and shove it out of your body. Number one, I hope you have a pen and paper. Number one, exercise. Exercise. Exercise is an absolutely essential factor, and without it, you are unlikely to get this disease under control, period. That's a tough one because most people don't like exercising, or they don't have time. They like it, but they don't have time. It is one of the fastest and most powerful ways to lower your insulin and leptin resistance. Exercise. Number two, you might not want to hear this one. Eliminate grains and sugars, especially fructose. Fructose and grains are largely responsible for your body's adverse insulin reaction. You'll want to eliminate all sugars and grains, even the healthy ones, like whole, organic, or sprouted ones. Until you can get this under control, you have to eliminate that. This means avoiding all breads, pastas, cereals, rice, potatoes, I know, corn, which, by the way, is a grain. And you also might even need to avoid fruit until your blood sugar is under control. That's why I want you to take your blood sugar at least twice a day, preferably morning and evening. I mean, if it was me doing this, I would do it morning, noon, and evening for at least 30 days. Number three, exercising and avoiding grains and sugars might not be enough unless you balance your protein, carbohydrates, and fat ratios for your specific biochemistry. Now, some people are sympathetic types. Some people are parasympathetic types. And then there's others that are balanced between the two. They're balanced. So the parasympathetic types are protein fat dominant because they have slow metabolic rates, whereas the sympathetic individuals are vegetable. I call it veggie dominant, and you know they break down vegetables really really quickly, and they don't need as much protein each and every day. So, and still others, the combination of the two are balanced. So the first step is finding out your nutritional type, which will give you information about your optimal protein, carbohydrate, and fat ratio. Matter of fact, we have a test that we can give you. It's a 50-question test that you can take that will determine what your blood type or not blood type, but your metabolic type is. Number four, monitor your fasting insulin levels. Now, this is very important as monitoring your fasting blood sugar, because most of the time you go to the doctor, they give you a fasting blood sugar test. And you want your fasting level to be between 2 and 4, and because the higher the level, the worse your insulin sensitivity. So that's something you have to go to the lab to get to be performed. Number five, optimize your vitamin D. You know, optimizing your vitamin D levels not only helps with type 2 diabetes, but it can virtually eliminate your children's risk for type 1 diabetes if you are pregnant. It's also vital for infants to receive the appropriate amounts of vitamin D in their early years for the same reason. And ideally, you will want to do this by exposing a large amount of your skin, their skin, to what? To the sun. So they need a lot of sunshine on a regular basis year-round. You know, your body can safely create up to 20,000 units of vitamin D a day by direct UV exposure. And if you're not getting regular sun exposure on your arms, your legs, your face, et cetera, you may need to supplement anywhere from 5 to 20,000 units of oral D3 per day. That's a lot. Now, if you're taking more than the bottle recommendation, if you're buying it, you should get your levels checked regularly by a lab to make sure it's in the therapeutic range, because they know what that is. But you need to optimize your vitamin D, probiotics. Your gut is a living ecosystem. It's full of good and bad bacteria. And multiple studies have shown that obese people have different intestinal bacteria than lean people. Wow, that's interesting. The more good bacteria you have, the stronger your immune system will be, and the better your body will function overall, because a great portion of your immune system, depending on what book you read, 80-90%, located in your gut, in your colon. The good news is that optimizing your gut flora is pretty easy. You can reseed your body with good bacteria by eating fermented foods like cabbage, beets, garlic, natto. You know, basically, you can ferment any vegetable. You know, our wiserliving.com site has several recipes on fermenting, so and an article on fermenting. So go there and check that out. You know, educate yourself on that. Also, raw organic cheese helps to repopulate your gut with beneficial bacteria as well. And finally, you know, supplement with a plant matrix vitamin and mineral, along with omega-3 with D3. You can go to wiserliving.com and click on the Wiser Living product area, and there will be a drop-down. On that tab, you can take a look at Manitech's complex blend of sugars that I've talked about before called Advanced Ambrotose. And you can also check out Designs for Health, because they have a great vitamin D and a product. They have several vitamin D products and probiotics and et cetera. So take a look at those. And at the very least, you can get valuable information from these two companies, since most of their products are NSF certified, GMP certified, organic, non-gluten, et cetera. So check it out, because a lot of you have the right product name-wise, but you don't know if it's concentrated, you know, batch to batch or from pill to pill. So it needs to be NSF certified, GMP certified, and obviously organic and so forth and so on. So Advanced Ambrotose, omega-3 with D, phytomatrix vitamins, minerals, and some cardio balance. You know, check those two companies out with the product line and see what you think about it. Even if you don't buy the product, the information is invaluable. So you want to do that as well. And I see our time is coming to a close, so you can check us out once again at wiserliving.com, subscribe at Wiser Living TV, follow us at Wiser Living Radio, like us at facebook.com/wiserliving, and connect with us. Please connect with us at Google+, Twitter, and LinkedIn and Pinterest. If we don't have your email address, why don't you go to wiserliving.com and you'll be able and just subscribe, so you can actually we can send you this information and you'll know when these calls are coming up, so forth and so on. Okay? I want to thank you, each and every one of you, for listening in today. This is Dr. Budweiser. Remember, let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. And we'll see you next time.